Tales of a well-established lesbian. Chapter 61. Footsteps thud across the ceiling of my room. The only light right now is from above the front door. It stretches past the door to my room and falls down my stairs. I must have left the door cracked open after a middle of the night wee. The shallow steps of the stairs and a sleepy me have been a deadly combo on more than a few nights. A bathroom on the same level as the bedroom. I'm going to add that to my mental checklist for flat viewings. The sounds of Shane readying himself for the world fill the house. Lauren has already slipped out quietly. He's late with the blender this morning, and anticipating my annoyance at the sound of it makes it even more annoying. Granted, nothing Shane does right now will have any other outcome or reaction. And yet, I'm actually not annoyed when it starts up. I'm not irate. I mean, sure, I am angry, but I'm calm angry. This feeling reminds me of the day I had to confess that I'd lost my house keys to my dad. You might think that his anger level at this is unnecessary, but he had predicted the whole thing. I suspect that was what tipped him over the edge. Or maybe it was the price of a locksmith. Either way, I feel like he looked that day. Silent, but seething. Still, but raging. Like all of the best phrases, we end up using them so much they kind of lose their impact. But I assure you, my dad, in that particular moment, couldn't even. It was the truest sense of can't even I might have ever encountered. So I'm actually kind of past angry. I'm sort of looping around. And my brain is using the lapse to stop a reaction. It lets me think up all my wild and somewhat petty ideas of revenge or retribution for Shane. And occasionally, Ashley too. But I'm discovering something new. There is a power in not reacting. This feels obvious for some of you. I know. And I'm going to be honest, sometimes it is shit advice. Like if you've been bullied, for example, don't just ignore it. Don't just not react. Until recently, my advice would have likely been to go on the offensive. Attack being the best form of defence and all that. But, you know, you can't be starting fights in 2022. So, you know, go tell somebody in charge and make them do their damn job. You won't always get success this way. But you know, you really ought to try the official channels before you resort to slapping a fool and getting suspended for it. Both Ashley and Shane know me as somebody who wears her heart on her sleeve, which is just code for saying I have emotions and I show them. And I don't always show them in the best way. I am an expert in removing the toys from my pram. All of them. I've just never been able to keep my mouth shut. Not since the day I learnt how to use it. I am baffled by people who are ambivalent about things, who don't form an opinion, judgment, point of view on everything they encounter. And even if they do have an opinion, they don't feel the need to have the satisfaction of saying it out loud. But you know what really turns me green? Makes me so jealous. People who keep themselves to themselves. You know, the people you know, but you don't really know. They don't find themselves sharing the details and minutiae of their life. If you ask me what's been going on lately, I hope you've made yourself a cup of tea, because I am gonna tell you. People who are mysterious, who don't share every stray thought that comes into their mind, they impress me so much. I would like to be one of them. I am not one of them. I have tried. Oh, how I have tried. For 3 minutes into a conversation, the overshare is real and I can't pull back. Or worse, I don't even notice I'm doing it. Until like a day later when my brain is like, oh, do you remember when you were oversharing again? I have a lot of feelings, emotions and opinions. And you are very likely to hear about them if you know me. I'll bet that very few of my friends have heard much new material if they're listening to this whole thing. I mean, God knows, well, I can't just keep my mouth shut. But I suppose here we are, 61 chapters later, so there's something to be said for it. No matter, though, how determined I am to not spill my own beans. No matter my resolve, I can't defeat this verbal diarrhea. Until now. Part of the reason I love to talk is because words are fun. And if you use them right, you can have an impact on someone. You can make them laugh. You can make them cry. You can make them feel something. But it's no fun when, no matter what combination of words you use, they fall on deaf ears. I hate wasting my breath, and let's be honest, that's the point I've reached with Ashley. Why talk? Why say the same thing again? Why expect a different outcome? That is the very definition of insanity. And Shane can never trust another word that comes out of his mouth. So it's an unusually quiet week in our house, because I have finally managed to learn how to keep my mouth shut. Okay, well, I have kept it shut at home and with those people, but my God, poor old Susie at work has heard it all. And now I have a new thing to be annoyed about. Lettings agents. There are more people than properties, which means these agents can give zero fucks, no service, and still be raking in the money. Not to mention my budget puts me firmly at the bottom of the market. You know, the kind of places where the last refurb was when avocado-coloured bathroom suites were the height of interior design. And no, my dear letting agents, you can't call shit decorating from the 70s period features. It's just nasty wallpaper. Demand for flats is so high that getting a viewing without having essentially given up all of your life details is almost impossible. You spend 35 minutes to an hour filling out forms so that you get to go and view a broom cupboard that some spotty 17-year-old keeps calling compact living. Mate, I might look like Harry Potter, but I'm not living like him. I mean, I give the lad his due. He is right. The heating bill will be low. 10 points to you, sunshine. The rest of the viewings are no better. Landlords seem to be forgetting that some of us have stuff. Lots of stuff. 3 flats in a row without a single bit of storage outside of the kitchen. One pushy agent kept asking me, what was holding me back? Why don't I just put a deposit down? I stopped after my 15th objection to the property because he looked like he was about to cry and his next client was outside. It's time to back off and give it a few days. See what else comes to the market. In the meantime, I've got 2 options this weekend. I can sit around sulking about the fact that everything's a bit shit right now, or I get a fuck on with things. As tempting as wallowing in my basement pit is, even the sound of Shane's existence will spoil that. So out it is. But as usual, I've left it a little bit last minute, and so probably everybody else is busy. I've got 2 tickets to the roller derby sitting in my pocket. Going on my own wouldn't faze me in the slightest if I was working the event. But I'm not. And I feel like showing up alone just is, all right, I'm Billy No Mates, how you doing? I've got plenty of time to consider my options because I'm up early and because the barbershop is heaving. Of course it is. It's Saturday morning, peak time. Dad needs to get his hair cut too, don't you know? Doesn't matter how full the bench is, lads, there is always going to be room for my tiny skinny ass. So I make a mooch up and I sit down. Over the next half an hour, every fella in there takes his turn to scrutinise me, especially those who've come in after me. One lad seems particularly curious or aggrieved about the fact that there's a lesbo in front of him. He probably should have walked a little further away from the shop before phoning his missus with a queue update. 7 of us on the bench, 2 in the chairs, 4 of these fellas are ahead of me. I am settling in for a minimum of an hour's wait or more. There is no small talk. This isn't one of those kind of barbershops. This is a very British barbershop. Everybody's busy on their phones, reading their own magazines. There is no eye contact. We're all in our own little worlds until we get into the chair. Then, and only then, will we engage in conversation with the barber. By the time the barber is talking my neck and brushing away the cut hair, I've made up my mind. I am gonna go to the roller derby. I'll know people when I get there. And if I'm having an horrible time, I'll just come home. There's no need to be dramatic about the whole thing. Stop overthinking everything. Just go and do it. And I'm feeling all determined and purposeful as I stride home with my sexy new fade. It's a good job I'm feeling all buoyant like this, because it turns out the tournament is in South London and it's an absolute mare to get to. Eventually, after what feels like 19 different trains, I'm trekking across some park and I find it. A sprawling, brutalist concrete leisure centre. It is probably the ugliest thing most people have seen, but I have such a soft spot for brutalist architecture and I love it. And this leisure centre is so at odds with the park around it. I love it. And wazzing about outside, admiring the architecture, gives me a moment to try and get my social anxiety under control. Nobody is thinking about you. Everyone is as in their own head as you are. I give myself the usual pep talk and I get on with it. Miracle number one, I'll make it through the merch village without buying a t-shirt. This is a strong start, people. And my timing, as usual, spot on. The first game has just begun. Now all I got to do is find somewhere to sit. There are, in fact, plenty of folks here that I know in passing, so there's lots of nodding as I wander on through. I'm looking for a great seat and I spot one. Perfect view of the jam start line and the run down into turn one. Nodding aside, I like to pretend that I totally meant to be here on my own. That was always the plan. I don't need nobody. So I hadn't really clocked the faces around me, too busy maintaining that nonchalance. Two jams or so go by when there's a tap on my arm. All right, good to see you. I look to my left. Bollocks, it's Marvin. And unfortunately, I do know Marvin. He's been involved with Derby for ages, in any capacity that he can insert himself in, preferably one where he feels like he's got some authority. And he thinks he knows everything. And that he's right about all of the things that he knows. I am going to have to acknowledge him. And once I do that, the door is wide open. And Marvin is going to come straight through it. The rest of the first half, I have my own personal Marvin commentary. It's as fun as it sounds. Marvin tells you what everyone is doing wrong. Even the track repair person isn't spared a performance analysis. And would you add and believe it, if something good happened, Marvin had a hand in it. 30 points scored by a jammer. Marv coached her, don't you know? She was naffing before him. I mean, mate, I just want to watch the game, not stroke your fucking ego. So I nod and I agree where required and try to let his nonsense go in one ear and out the other. There is just one topic I am hoping we can avoid. Because you see, Marvin is, of course, a very experienced announcer. And in case I haven't given you enough of an indication of the scale of Marv's ego, I'm pretty certain his Derby name is King something or other. And that was given to him by himself. Whereas, for example, Bee, I call her Queen Bee. She don't call herself Queen Bee. The whistle blows for half time and I am so relieved I might wander off and accidentally sit somewhere else when I come back. I make my excuses. Oh mate, good to see you. Well, I'm just going to pop out for a fag. Before I can get any further, Marvin is on his feet. I'll join you, he says. Oh, fine. We're outside of one of the brutal concrete bridges that crosses the moat that is outside the leisure centre. Because of course there's a moat outside the leisure centre. Very necessary in the 1950s was a moat around the leisure centre. I'm admiring the architecture and Marvin is doing all of the talking. I'm pretending to listen, still. But all of a sudden I'm distracted by the arrival of the Paris captain on the bridge. She is awesome and I can't help but pop over and tell her how particularly awesome her offence was in that jam right before half-time. I mean, she had split the pack like Moses for her jammer. It was sexy roller derby and it deserved to be complimented. And I'm not going to lie, a little part of me loved the fact the captain of Paris was outside having a sneaky puff-puff on a fag at half-time. I mean, It's good to know they're human too, right? I had hoped my abrupt desertion of the conversation with Marv would have meant that he'd given up and wandered off. But no. As the captain leaves to go rejoin her team, Marv is very ready to give me his opinion on her. How my eyes haven't settled into just a continuous roll at this point is a mystery. And then, miraculously, he shuts up for a minute. One beautiful, blissful minute. The birds sing. I can hear the summer breeze in the trees. And I close my eyes and I'm just enjoying the sun on my face. And then he starts talking again. So, how's the announcing going? So we're not avoiding this. Oh, good. Oh, good. We both know exactly how my announcing is going. I'm getting selected for cruise and Marvin isn't. And at this point, I've made enough connections to know that Marvin has applied for many of the tournaments and crews that I have worked. But I make polite chit-chat about it. I've still got a lot to learn. And, you know, to be honest with you, I'm just really lucky to have the support and mentors that I've got. I mean, I've been really lucky to work with some amazing announcers and they've taught me a lot. He asks what I'm working next. I say to him, I've applied for Champs. I'm really hoping I get selected. And of course, I've been selected for Finland, but, you know, I've still got to raise a bit more money to get there. Turns out Marvin doesn't want to buy a t-shirt. He doesn't think I'll have one big enough for him. I assure him I am fully inclusive, my friend. A 5XL, perhaps, in the post. The man still won't get his wallet out. But guess what? He's got a theory on my announcing success. Marvin is looking at me with this expectation that I'll be desperate to hear what he's got to say, like he's the Hawking of Derby. Undeterred and unsolicited, Marvin gives me his theory of everything. You know why you're getting selected for all these tournaments, don't you? Oh, it's a three prizes, no guesses situation, people. I cannot take a deep enough breath to get me through the avalanche of shit that is about to come out of his mouth. I am just going to have to hit my GPS beacon and hope that someone can dig me out afterwards. Everybody check your answers. Let's see how you did. You'll get 10 points if you answered or screamed at your listening device because you're a woman. And you'll get another 10 points if you also answered, being a lesbian helps too. Bonus 5 points to you if you totally know he added a bit about how it's such a shame I'm white. Because imagine if I could tick all three boxes, I'd be selected for everything, he reckoned. I am standing in front of this bloke, looking him dead in the face as he completely ignores any possibility that I might be good at what I do. He can't even comprehend the idea that I might be decent, and the notion that I might be better or preferred to him, unfathomable. Unfathomable. So, I have options here. How to react. Blowing up at him off the table. I mean, it's too much effort. It's going to spoil my day. I can't be doing with it. I could argue my side, but again, effort, and we know he's not going to listen. Only conclusion? Lean in. Agree with him. And so this is what I do. You're right, Marv. I reckon it's totally why I'm getting selected. But between you and me, isn't it about time those tables were turned? I think it's brilliant. I flawlessly execute a cigarette flick and I head back in. Dick. Now I'm ready for a drink. The bar, it appears, is also a time machine and we're back in the noughties drinking Smirnoff Ice. It feels kind of spot on as I end up sitting with a bunch of juniors who are just aging out. My driving licence is older than some of these lot. And I only discover that when the one I sent to the bar for me comes back bouncing that she got served. Fuck's sake. I've only been sat here an hour and I'm already a bad influence. These lot are so young and so queer. Like, if my generation are 1980s TVs, four channels and nothing else, this generation are definitely YouTube, infinite channels, something for everyone. And I can't help but compare, like, 17, 18-year-old me to these lot. The language is different. The fashion, not so much. It seems your teenagers will come back to haunt you. It happens to all of us in the end. But underneath it all, the stories are the same. I like her, does she like me? I'm scared of getting hurt, coming out to parents, dealing with all of that stuff. And as we talk, I am astonished, astounded to find out that some of these have been out since they were like 12 or 13 years old. They had girlfriends in school, held hands, kissed, the whole business. A couple of them even went to prom with their girlfriends. Not entirely without issue or incident, but damn, that's amazing. I'm looking at a generation who haven't lost their entire teenage experience. They weren't set back, set apart, pretending, hiding. The confidence in them is fucking gorgeous. And so I watch roller derby, get happy and tipsy drunk, and feel like I am surrounded by the lesbian equivalent of kittens on the internet. And underneath the kittenness, every one of them is an angry feminist ready to take on the world. Oh my God, they are just the tonic I need. And as I traverse night bus, tube and train home, I feel a bit reassured that at least some of the kids are all right, you know. Sunday morning, I've only got one thing on my mind. Well, aside from bacon, that is. Comedy. Late night Thursday, I'd been offered a gig, and in my spirit of let's just say yes to things, I said yes to it. It's only down the road at my local cocktail bar. The only thing is, it's next week. Or now, 4 days away. And I haven't written a damn thing. And I'm having a bit of a tough time with things at the moment. And one tough day turns into another tough day. And I'm really regretting having said yes to the gig. I'm all over the place at the moment. But I know that saying yes to stuff like this is exactly what I need to do, because it gives me a reason to do things and gives me a reason to push on. Except now I don't really want to push on. I just want to crawl into my bed and not even have to worry about being funny. But backing out is not an option. And I know that the thoughts in my head, they aren't really fair, and they're not on my side right now. It's probably best not to listen to them. Which means there's even more reason to get off my arse and do it. Thursday arrives, and it is the longest day ever. I swear down, I heard every single tick of the clock today. And as it ticks, my nerves get worse. In fact, at no point are my nerves getting any better. They're so bad, I'm actually starting to wonder whether this is good for me. Because I feel literally like I'm going to die. The sight of the sellout room does not help me at all. But Irene is here, and I'm actually going to meet her boyfriend Dave. I've heard a lot about Dave, but this is the first time I'm actually going to get to meet him. And it turns out, lovely. Proper bloody lovely is Dave. And I can see why Irene likes him. They look good together too, you know. Like those couples that just make sense to you on sight. Unfortunately for Dave and Irene, they look like actual grown-ups. So, after my set, a few audience members tell them they must be so proud to have such a funny daughter. I spent a week slaving over a set, and this woman drops the joke of the night on her way for a wee. Luckily, both Dave and Rini see the funny side of this, and it helps that Dave thought I was funny too. So I survive this meeting. And my set went well too. I chucked a few new bits in there, did some old bits, and there's one joke I did, that's always good, that requires me to write the punchline on my forearm in marker pen. In the shower the next morning, I remember why I didn't use a Sharpie last time. Looks like I'm going to be living with my temporary tattoo for a little while. And it's not ideal timing, as I'm driving down the motorway this afternoon to stay with my parents. Of course, it's another weekend, so there's another roller derby tournament. This one is 20 minutes from Mum and Dad's house, so the accommodation is awesome. All inclusive, you might say. My mum wakes me off the next morning with a picnic for a packed lunch. I swear to you, Wales needs to do more tournaments down here so I can stay at home. The Welsh weather is fantastic. We are talking heatwave level weather. And of course it is, because I am going to be inside for most of it. Talking of inside, for a first time tournament, these folks have done a fantastic job and they've linked it to some local history too. I'm well impressed and I learnt a bunch of stuff I didn't know about a town just up the road. There's just one thing that can make this weekend awkward, and I'm waiting for it to happen. Because you see, Ashley and her team are going to be here. There will be no avoiding one another. I mean, I grant you it is a big room, but still. On our first passing, we exchange cursory and polite nods. And after that, we give each other plenty of space. To be fair, this has to be more annoying for Ash. There are only 2.5 announcers, so my voice rings out across the hall for most of the 2 days. Not to mention that half my family have turned up to have a look at what on earth roller derby is and why someone has given me a microphone. And of course, they don't ignore Ashley, though I'm probably sure she wished they had. For me, I am really liking the fact that I can feel the change in me between us. Like, there is no us. She's a her over there and I'm a me over here, and that's that. And so it's easy enough to focus on the games and throw myself into working with Dork, because our styles totally suit one another, which, considering we've just subjected the audience to 13 hours of us, is a relief to everyone. The Bank Holiday Monday family barbecue turns out to be an excellent location to sell some merch, even if one of my cousins does try to haggle with me. But even when it's a bank holiday, Monday is still Monday. Sometimes relentlessly Monday. First it was the traffic, and now I'm home, Shane wants to talk. I suppose we have to eventually. Though I was more in favour of, you know, not talking and just leave him. But okay, let's give him some credit for wanting to sort it out. So he starts his little speech. He sort of knows roughly what he did that pissed me off, but he kind of wants to hear it from me. So I replay the conversation I overheard. I relay his words back to him. He gets redder and redder. I explain how I felt this spoke to his character, his lack of integrity, the reasons I can't trust him now. I explain I understand his insecurities, but that they're not an excuse. I don't know at what point he started crying, but I was unmoved by it. I'm just glad he's getting how badly he's fucked up. He wants to know if we're going to be okay. As flatmates, yes, I say. As friends, probably not. Now, I still haven't found a new place to live, so there's no need to pull that trigger just yet. Shane offers a decent-ish apology and promises to do better in future. So we sit in silence for a few minutes, let the previous conversation sort of fade away. Shane breaks the quiet first. I'm glad we've talked about it, because, you know, it felt weird between us, this whole not talking thing. Actually, you know, it's really great, because, you know, I'm glad we're doing this, because actually there's something I wanted to talk to you about. Now, of course, he's only apologised because he wants something. 2 steps forward, 5 steps back. The only invitation I give Shane to continue talking is my raised eyebrows. You see, the thing is, that's how he begins this. Now, I am not psychic, but for the second time in a couple of weeks, I know exactly what the thing is. Starts with law and ends with Ren. I'll summarise Shane's request for you, because the boy tied himself in knots trying to get it all out. He does indeed want Lauren to move in permanently. But, he's not done there. No, no. As well as adding a third person to our small 2-bedroom flat, Shane has decided he will also be working from home full time from the start of October. Are you kidding me? Home full time. What fucking planet is this dickhead from? This is the domestic equivalent of constructive dismissal. You know, if I wasn't already halfway out the door. I mean, imagine having to put up with Shane sat at the kitchen table every single day. Got a random day off? Boy Wonder's going to be in there, in a meeting, no doubt. I mean, he only does it one day of the week at the moment, and it's annoying as fuck, watching him pace around with his little earpiece in like he's some big shot, not some schmuck in flip-flops. Sorry, thongs. I'll tell him I'll think about it, if that's okay. And he falls over himself to be accommodating. Of course, take a few days to think about it if that's what you need, he says. By the end of the week, I'll let you know my answer, I promise. Flat hunting kicks into a new gear. I'm finally getting some calls as properties hit the market. And my bosses are allowing me to flex my time because apparently getting a viewing outside of office hours is as rare as hen's teeth. Four more flats that turn out to be four more shitholes and shoeboxes. And then I get an email. One bedroom flat on a lovely road in the right part of town. Newly refurbished, in fact so new that they're just finishing it now. The photos look great. And according to the agent, I'm first in line. I am getting my hopes up. I can't help it, right? I feel like this place is spot on for me. The viewing is just to confirm it. Not to put all my eggs in one basket, I continue to keep booking anything and everything else that comes up in. And I'm quite enjoying it, because looking for a place of my own is so much fun. I mean, yes, all the admin and money is a ball ache, but nobody else's opinion matters but my own. But the best thing, the absolute best thing, not having to try and analyse the safety of the housemates. Not having to try and suss out if they're actually low-key homophobic. Not having to wonder if they're the type of person who will escalate a conflict to a violent confrontation. When the door closes on my new flat, I won't be wondering what kind of person I'm really in here with. It'll be my space. No more worrying about some dickhead housemate. God, I am so excited. And a bit keen, because I am now well early for my viewing. So I decide to do something productive with my time, and I call in to one of the letting agents that I hadn't heard back from. Turns out, I got their contact info wrong, and the flat that I was after has been let. Ah, bugger. Give me a shout if you get anything similar come on the books, would you, I ask? The fella at the back of the office is waving his arm furiously at me. He finishes conversation and puts the phone down. He asked me a quick fire series of questions about my budget, my moving date, references and a few other bits and pieces, and I must have got them all right because he's gone and grabbed a set of keys and he is coming at me. It's your lucky day, darling. I've just taken on a new place today. It is perfect for you. A 5-minute walk away. If you've got the time, I'll show you now. I get him to give me just a few more details, and it does sound like it ticks all my boxes, and it's only a few minutes walk away from the other flat, so there's nothing to lose here. I've got time for both. This fella is in full salesman mode as we make the walk to the flat. I don't have it in me to tell him that I've pretty much got my heart set on the next one I'm going to go and see. But he's good with people and he is reading me pretty well. Trust me, he says, almost reading my mind. This place is going to surprise you. All right. Open mind time. The flat he wants to show me is in two houses that have been converted into a block of flats. He points at the first floor window. It's a big bay window. It's that one up there, he says. The porch has those gorgeous floor tiles, all patterned and beautiful. And they're all surrounded by those lovely terracotta ones. There's a beautiful rosebush blooming right next to the doorway. We go on in and up the stairs and we stop at the first door on the right. It's a small, dark hallway. And there are just a few steps up ahead. Tiny little window. I look back at the agent and he urges me to keep going on in. Up the steps and I turn right into a long hallway. Still pretty dark. The fella slips past me and starts turning lights on. I stick my head into the bathroom. It's not the prettiest scene. The bath panel is for some reason strewn across the room and it is a tired looking suite. But I have actually seen worse. I ask him if I can test the shower. He looks a little confused, but I explain a pathetic level of water pressure is a deal breaker here. Turns out that is not going to be an issue. The only issue we've now got is that it's a bit too good and we both look like we've wet ourselves. Next along is a bedroom. It's a decent size and the ceilings are gorgeously high in this place. I appreciate it. And the view from the bedroom, a bowling green, which is right now full of oldies in their whites having a lovely time. We move on to the living room. Again, massive. And it is full of light. The sun is starting to stream in. I could genuinely sunbathe without having to leave the house. The kitchen, well, that'll do the job. I mean, what does it need to do? I'll be honest, the pine cabinets are a little dated, but it's not a room I spend much time in, if we're honest. Provided the oven works, the fridge is a decent size and I can get a microwave in there, we are all good. The only real downside to this place is it is as tired as it could be. I mean, that carpet in the bedroom has seen everything, I suspect. The whole place needs a hell of a clean. And it's not in the best location. There's a YMCA opposite and the drug recovery unit is just at the end of the road. The local pub is one of two with the same name. And the one that's my new potential local is not the one we call the Good Ship. But positives? The train station is just 2 minutes away and the flat does have a parking spot. I am way more impressed with this place than I expected to be. And it is bang on budget. The agent has been proper decent and upfront with me, so I explain my situation to him. He actually knows the next property that I'm going to see now. He is so confident that I won't take the next flat that he tells me that he is not going to put this one online until I ring him back in the next hour and tell him that he's wrong. I've got to love his style and I'm laughing as we shake on it and he gives me his card. We part ways and he shouts back at me across the road, "I'll be speaking to you in a little bit." Quite the come down was the next viewing. This agent is very, very bored with life. He is so bored that even his personality has left. The flat itself, a letdown. It's like one of those holidays where, you know, you looked at all the photos online, but then you get there and it turns out they were all taken at an angle that meant you couldn't see the oil refinery just behind it. This flat was a bit like that. Instead of an oil refinery, they were hiding the fact that all you could see from the bedroom, the kitchen and some of the living room was the driveway and all the bins out there. They were also hiding the fact that the bathroom was an enormous wet room. It was so big, in fact, that you could actually get two baths in there. And yet, there were none. I have no idea what you would do with all of that space. I mean, you could actually roller skate in there, I think. Pointless and weird. Every door I opened got stuck, whether it was a room door or a cupboard door. The shiny new kitchen, a third of the size of the last one. And it turns out all I can do is compare this place to the last one. And the last one had better storage, better sized rooms, more natural light. It feels safer because it's up on the first floor rather than this one down on the ground floor. I ring the other agent back within 20 minutes. The wheels are in motion an hour later. In 2 weeks' time, that flat is going to be all mine. I give my notice to Shane. It is so, so satisfying to watch him realising that their little plan to save money is going up in smoke. Now all I need to do is find something to sit on in the new place. Hello, hello, how are you? I hope life is good with you. I am very sorry that I have messed with the release schedule, but I really, really had to see Top Gun Maverick. And I really, really know that next week I'll be very busy celebrating, having survived and thrived through 4 decades of life on this incredible rock. I won't lie, I've been having a bit of angst, some existential dread and some milestone measuring and wondering if I come up short this birthday. But as usual, writing this podcast has helped me with the answer. I've never played by the rules, have I? So why does it matter to me what they say life should be like at 40? Inspire them, I've made it to 40. So you know what? That's what I'm going to celebrate. And I'm going to celebrate the shit out of it. Now, if you are feeling generous and you would like to help me celebrate my birthday, I've got a couple of options for you. You could donate to the show, which will help me cover my costs. I mean, this thing makes negative money, which in this economy, ouch. So if you feel like you could help, head to ko-fi.com, that's ko-fi.com/well-established-lesbian. If you are one of those people who doesn't want to donate to some shady anonymous lesbian on the internet, totally understandable. Maybe you could do something awesome like donate to your local LGBTQIA plus charity, and maybe send me a little screenshot, just give me the warm and fuzzies. I don't know, something like that. If you are one of those people who would love to be generous, but actually you can't take your eyes off your electricity meter, I understand and I know the feeling. Don't spend your money. Do me a favour and share the show. Give it a review. Give it a rating. I mean, anything like that that you could do would be fantastic. And if that's too much for you, all I'd really like you to do is think fondly of me and my ever-graying hair next weekend. This almost 40-year-old butch has never been so happy to be a baby face. That I can assure you. So that's it for this week and this particular decade. I hope you have a great time, whatever you're getting up to. Thank you, as always, for the privilege of your time. Make sure you take care of you.